So I'm preaching from Romans in chapter 12, continuing verse by verse in Romans. We're in 12, 3 through 8 this morning. So if you got a Bible, electronic device, you can go to Romans chapter 12. We're going in 3 through 8. Now we approach this passage understanding that the Lord has made us. That is something as Christians we understand, saved you, and He has also gifted you. And He wants you to operate in this. Not just the understanding of it, but in what you are. So this is going to be very important. You exist by God's grace. You're gifted by God's grace. And He made you to be unique. And He entrusts you. He gifts you. He entrusts you. It's a stewardship. It's an honored stewardship. You're entrusted with talents. And you are His with His purposes. And He's also connected you to everyone else that He's made, and He's saved, and He's gifted. God attached you to His people. Now, there's a universal aspect to this, and there's also a local aspect to this. Now, here's the thing. As part of your design, part of your function, your purpose, God wants you to operate as that connection. God wants you to use your gifts from Him to benefit the others. He wants you to serve them intentionally. And God designed it to be this way. Now, the main place that He ordained for you, for me, to all operate in this is in what Scripture calls the body of Christ. It's a beautiful poetic term, but it's spiritually real, and it's also called the church. The body of Christ is the church, Scripture says. Paul speaks to this here. Follow along as I read in 12:3-8. For through the grace given to me, Paul says, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many body part members, and not all the members serve the same function, so we, being the many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, if the gift is prophecy, that individual must use it in proportion to his faith. Now, as I'm reading, scholars all agree that proportion of faith here is meant to be in respect to all the things that Paul lists next, not just prophecy. So now verse 7, it's like this. If service in proportion to his faith, in his serving, or he who teaches in proportion to his faith in his teaching, and it's on and on, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, and he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Prepare your heart for this sermon, being the body member of God's grace. Let's pray. Father, I'm asking that you build us up, that you edify us, that you teach us truths that come in and they solidify into our soul. They become part of us. And as we move and we live and we breathe, we have our being in you, we also live this for your glory. Help me to preach in the way you want me to, though my words are not always perfect. Help me to preach to edify with your word. Amen. Now, the Spirit says to do a whole lot of things here. And He's saying to do it in the ability that is of faith. That's the ability. Everything we just read is a lesson, actually, on faith. And who would ever have thought that God allots faith? That's what Paul says. And also, that it's in measure. God allots you a measure of faith to be able to minister in the Christian community. You have a certain measure for certain things. Paul says, use your gifts in proportion to your faith. Faith has measure, and you have enough. Faith has proportion, and you have what it takes to do what God wants you to do. Now, you might say, well, is this really something that He says here? Measurable proportion with faith? Yes. And you have it to use. And by the way, it's not just described here that way. 14:1 says, some people are weak in faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, it says there are varieties of spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. And one of the gifts is called the actual gift of faith. So the Holy Spirit gives this gift of faith to certain people. But everyone has faith. All Christians have faith. You have faith. I have faith. You were saved by grace through faith. So you do have faith. In 1 Corinthians 12, the gift of faith the Spirit gives to some, as it says, It doesn't say all. It means some have this: exceptional, exemplary, strong, and stable faith. Their faith is like an anchor. And you see those people, and nothing seems to faze them. You might know people like that. You might be somebody like that. But what you're seeing is the gift. Don't honor the person. Honor God in the gift and what He's doing. And the gift of faith is there. It's being manifested, and it relates to what the Spirit's telling all of us right here. Faith is a gift in respect to measure. And faith is always the same thing for everyone, by the way. It is this: belief. It's belief. Every Christian has it, and it's also a gift with measure. And in 2 Thessalonians 1:3, Paul thanked God for the Thessalonian Christians because their faith was growing abundantly in measure. So Paul thanked God. Well, that's interesting. He didn't thank them. He thanked God for their faith because it's God's gift. And Paul said it was growing. Well, that's the measure. That's the proportion. And if you look around right now at this group of people, because this is the body of Christ, this is a church, you will find Christians in this church who have stronger faith than others. And you'll also find that there are people with weak faith. In the body, when you find people who have exemplary faith, the exceptional faith they have, that solid faith, that strong faith, was given to them for the common good of you too. This is the way we have to look at these things. There's a lesson on faith here. You're being told that the body is real, and you are being told that those people are for everyone, including you. That's why it's a gift. And God uses them to build you up in your faith. God designed your relationship, my relationship, the others, as a necessary existence in the church. He ordained this for these kinds of things to work this way. And God designed all of us to operate as the connection He knows is actually there. You need to know it. I need to know it. We need to realize it. We need to honor it. He knows this, and He wants us to be operating in it. This is the body life that He wants. So if you have exceptional faith, know that your faith that you have is more than for yourself. You have a gift to be used as ministry, and you need to be helping the other members of the body to experience it. And they're not going to get it if you're not doing it. So to pursue the connection that God wants, because there is a lesson of faith here, but that lesson keeps going. Based on the faith that He gives, I want to get to what you need to do. You need to operate as the body member of God's grace that you are. You are. You are already that. Operate in what you are by faith. And you are what you are here and gifted with your gifts only by God's grace. So seek to fulfill what you are. Paul is the apostle teaching this. And this is just so important because he just said he's doing all of this teaching. He's the apostle through the grace that God gave him. Now his care and his ministry to you and to me and to all of us is an illustration of God's grace getting him to do what God wants. So that's the way we need to look at it. This is the principle of your gifts, your calling, mine too. And in chapter 1, Paul said he received grace and apostleship from God. Paul's understanding of God's grace in his life to serve the body is the same for you. Paul sees you like himself as he teaches this principle. And that's what we're getting. All of us have gifts. You really do. You might not be able to put a label on what yours are. But you do have gifts. You have abilities from God. Okay, let's just put it that way. You have things that you can do. Enablements that you can do. Enablements that come from God. And we all have these things according to His grace given to us. So you look at Paul. He was called. He was enabled. And you are the same. So this is what we need to be thinking. Look, we need to be saying this about ourselves. Say this about yourself. I am gifted by God to serve other Christians in some way for God's glory. Because that's the truth. God loves me so much, He applies grace to my life to minister to the others in the body, of the body. And you need to believe that statement with the measure of faith God gave you, and you have enough, and know yourself this way, know the others around you this way. And what it does is it keeps you from thinking of them more highly than you should. It makes you be thinking rightly, including about yourself and about the body. Everyone's gifts and everyone's measure of faith, all that this grace is from God. So don't compare. You know, we're all the same in the way of God's grace for all these things. We're all stewards entrusted with these things that God gives us, and we're being used by Him. This all keeps us from thinking of others even in a lowly way as well. Now, God really does hate this kind of comparison and competition attitude when it comes to His grace at work in each person. And it does happen. But you also need to open your spiritual eyes to the importance God gives to the body, its existence, its importance, its function, the body itself, and every little member, which is the people around you and yourself. But the body is very important. Recognize the importance of your own design into the body, into it. You're part of it. And revere being connected and committed to the church. So think of it this way. Jesus died and He raised from the dead. And He's ruling at the right hand of the Father. But think of it this way. He wants to be back down here doing all kinds of ministry. Well, He is, by His Spirit. So God made the church to be the body of Christ on earth. The hands, the feet, the voice, the eyes. Think of the church that way. First, Colossians 1:18 says, Christ is the head of the body, the church. And in Colossians 1:24, Paul said that He suffered for the body of Christ, the church. Each time he calls the body of Christ the church in Colossians that he's writing to. So know yourself as designed into this supernatural connection, because that's what it is. Designed with your own purpose to fulfill. Be aware. You know, be alert, be aware. Have this understanding. And because there is a distorted disconnection all over the place in our time. Really, it's a tragedy. It's a disease. It's crazy. I mean, we get in here, I do verse-by-verse preaching, we study the Bible, we're all excited, wow, we went through the Word. Then we walk outside and we look at the Christianity in our generation, we go, wait a minute, did I just study a foreign land? No, you're studying the way we're supposed to be. And what's going on nowadays is it's becoming this new face of Christianity. And it's a human invention. And this is what it is. It's a purposeful dismemberment. It's going on all over the place. I find this everywhere. God says we're all one body in Christ. And you really are individually a member with all the other members of the body. You know, so it's like what Paul just said, presenting your body a living sacrifice. You know, he just said that in this context. He just said, present your body a living sacrifice. Well, now, present yourself as the living member you are in the body of Christ. Be that. Act as a member of the body for the body, which is the church. Believe God has given you unique and needed functions in the body. It's His grace. Believe His grace is working to get it through you. He wants it. You are gifted to operate in what you are. Be obedient. Do it in faith. Be obedient and be humble. Humble. In 1 Corinthians 11:14. Paul said, all of us have gifts from God. He said, there's no boasting because they're gifts. There's no personal pride in any of that. There's no false motivation. There's no comparing everyone's function. There are no celebrities in the body of Christ. Again, it almost seems like it's a modern thing, but there was celebrity ministry revering back in Paul's day. It's one of the reasons why he wrote 1 Corinthians. We're going to go through 1 Corinthians someday. But you're not trying to earn rewards in heaven. It's God's grace. And we've already seen the curse of the faith versus works pattern in Romans. God doesn't want that in the body. Now God is saying His grace work is still working this way with you, with the body. With you, with the body. You see, your operation in the body is like everything else in your Christianity. You are declared righteous by faith by God's grace. Your adoption is by faith by God's grace. So function in the body that way. Don't think of yourself according to your ability. Think of yourself according to faith in God and what He's doing in everything, including you. Do you see how this works? This is why He says according to the measure of faith. Don't look at serving and teaching or exhorting as performance to measure with earthly standards. Rely on God. Because this way, you can go speak into people's lives. And you think, well, but I stutter and I don't know what to say. Approach them with the measure of faith God gives you. He's the one. Don't be thinking that your ideas about results are what prove whether God's working with you, because you are His grace vessel. And no matter what happens, believe that you are in His body. It's just like salvation. No matter what happens in your life, believe that you are saved. You're going to mess up, and things aren't going to always look right, and you might even say some weird things. You might not be in your right mind, but you are in His body. And so His body is functioning. It's functioning all the time. Your obedience, then, is the success. Think of it that way. So anytime that you're ministering, your obedience is going to be the success and the outcome that we're looking for. And it's the same with giving, leading, showing mercy. Think like Paul. It's amazing that Paul had to actually assert his apostleship to Christians back then. Do you know that? 2 Corinthians, it's a lot of 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, just spending chapter after chapter doing this one thing, defending his apostleship. But do you know what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:11? He said this, I am a nobody. 2 Corinthians 12:11. So operate in faith, know real grace, and say, I am a nobody. I'm in the body as the body that God designed, and with Him, I am a member. But with me, I am a nobody. God gave me the grace for anything I am and anything I do in Christ. That's humbleness. It's all about Him in me. This is what Paul was trying to say in 2 Corinthians. God has allotted me a measure of faith to believe He's working in me no matter what. And the faith I have is the right amount to go forward and build up the other members of the body of Christ. He uses me for the body. This is what we've been designed for, people, but not according to how I measure the works themselves. And so now, live being aware of the precious people in the body. The most precious thing in the whole universe that God created. He created a whole lot of stuff. The most valuable thing. You can't put a price on it other than the life of Jesus on the cross is people. And we're not recognizing people with the precious value like God does as a church in our day. This is another part of the problem. We're not being aware of the preciousness of the people that God in His sovereignty puts us in the midst of. Live recognizing that you have a call to them. Manifest Christ to them in love actions. It's all about love, right? The great commandment, the greatest gift, the deepest theology that you could possibly get into is this. Love. And so when you feel unsure, rely on God in faith that He's got it under control. And if pride starts to well up in you, what do? Humble yourself. Just say, it's all you, God. I don't even see that I even did anything. Well, the success is that you did go forward. And Paul said, you did it according to your measure of faith, see? And Paul said, being declared righteous by God's grace, according to faith alone, he says this through this context of Romans, kills boasting. Same principle always, even in your operation in the body. Why? Because it's Him in you. That's who you boast in. And this is the success. It's in 9:30. You attain righteousness by what? Grace through faith. Well, Paul said that those who pursued it by personal works failed. It's the same principle. When it comes to the works that He wants you to do for the body, in the body, as the body, your success is relying on Him, the head. It's always the same pattern. Chapter 11, God chooses people by grace. And then He says, since it's by grace, it's not based on works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. Same pattern. God deleted the sin out of your life. He put the life of Jesus into your life. And so what else does He give you? He gives you this faith. He actually gives you a measure of faith to go forward and operate as this body member of God's grace that you actually are. It's such an amazing realization. He gifted you with gifts to be used for the other body members. Your success doesn't rely on you, relies on Him working in you. But you go forward with the faith that He allotted you. So you don't disappear, you exist. You just take the back seat. Any outcome is Him at work in His own body. And so this reveres Him. So I want to spend some time bringing this whole body relationship into a sharper focus. God really placed you into the body of Christ as a living connection with everyone else. Meaning, God did not mean for you to be a maverick for Messiah a lone ranger for the Lord, a solo soldier in the Spirit. There's way too many of these people in this day. This is part of the problem. The days of the Old Covenant cave-dwelling loner prophets is gone. That is not what God's doing. He's doing the body of Christ. Your Christian life is meant for body life, which means for other people to experience you. You are meant to experience them. You know, Paul blows away the clouds of hazy thinking and all this about who you are, about what your function is, what the operation is of your gifts. He says the arena for this is the body of Christ, the church. Show your connection with the church in real actions, thoughts. Demonstrate Christian love and Christian care for the people in the church. Uphold their value, that preciousness, the way God does. Philippians 2:3 says, regard them as more important than yourself. Philippians 2:3. Probably one of the shortest and greatest sermons in the Bible is Philippians 2:3. Well, body life means regarding the people here like you've been brought to them to make them blessed. That's how the body's made. It's the same picture. The picture that you've been given here is a human body. It's one body, but it has parts: arms, legs, hands, feet, ears. Well, those are people, and each has a different function, but all are one body. The human understanding, you know, it might be like all this came about as a matter of chance. And really, a lot of things in life seem to our human understanding, when it comes to God's sovereignty and what he's doing, it's a matter of planning and a matter of chance. Those two things. A matter of planning, a matter of chance. And so what happens is because we think our decisions change the way God sees things and is doing things in this world. But spiritual eyes see God's sovereign hand at work in our lives at every single point, every single step, every single encounter, every single thing that's going on. And God doesn't care how you got into this group, into this church. He just tells you what you are here. And he says we are all individually members of one another. That's what he says. You, me, we are actually members of one another. Our connection is spiritual, but it's manifested in the physical. And there's something deep here. It's so strong, it's so real, the Spirit says that as we are connected to Christ, we are connected to one another. Wow. So anytime you study Romans 12, it's wise to go to 1 Corinthians 12. This is just two 12 chapters. You got Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12. That should be easy to understand, right? Well, they're parallels. They both cover God's will for body life. And you find your part as a body in the body for the body in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12:12, the body is one but has many members. Okay, we've got that. That's all of us here and a group of people, but still one body. God created it. We got that. 1 Corinthians 12 tells you that this was not random. It was not based on chance. It transcends even your plans. What it says, God did this by his Spirit. Wow. And then it gets you thinking. Well, if the foot says, because I'm not a hand, I'm not a part of the body, the foot's wrong. Doesn't know what it's talking about. It's not any less a part of the body that God knows it to be. It's not any less a part of the body just because it thinks it isn't. And this is, like I said, a big, huge problem in our day. If the ear says, well, because I'm not an eye, I'm not a part of the body, you know what it says? The ear is just wrong. It's not any less a part of the body that God knows it to be, and he wants it to know it should be the way it should be. Paul said that in God's grand scheme of things, he, this is a mind-blowing thought, folks, he placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. You and everyone else. And that's what it says. And the Spirit wants to make sure that you know this is God's work that you're experiencing. Not something that you came up with or something that I'm coming up with. It shows your responsibility is bigger than what? Your own ambitions. It's bigger than my ambitions. It's what he willed. It's his craftsmanship. And so Paul asks there, if everyone is the same part, where would the body be? Well, God knows what he's doing. He made many people come together to make one unique body. Remember Romans? Grace, the grace gifting. You know, I remember meeting with a man. He was a real maverick. This was years ago. He told me he didn't need body life. He said his Christianity was about himself and God, and that was it. And I remember trying to reason with him from Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, a lot of different passages that are like this. And he told me that the Holy Spirit leads him, and so he said everything was just fine. But I knew everything wasn't just fine. I knew that guy needed the body. Wasn't doing fine at all. You know, the Holy Spirit's leading on body life was presented to the man, and what did he do? He rejected it. And so here's the thing about him and people like him. They're dismembered pieces. Think about it. They clutter the land all over the place with their own opinions of what they are, what you're supposed to be. And they have no problem preaching to you what to believe. They just don't want you telling them from the scriptures something. And here's what they'd actually reject is Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, so much more of what the Spirit preaches to them. And what the Spirit preached next in 1 Corinthians 12 is so, so important. And it says there, God, this is beautiful, God has so composed the body so that there would be no division in the body, but that the members, that's us, would have the same care for one another. Is that what you're doing? Because this is what God wants. And by the way, anything else is a counterfeit and it's a mannequin. It's a plastic shell with cheap makeup. The real body is the living connection. This is what God's interested in, not what we come up with. It's accountability. It's interest in each other. It's care. Always think of the body as you and. Okay? It's you and that guy. It's you and that girl. It's you and the others. And what is your job? It's care. Your job is care. It's to operate in the body as the body, a member for the body by God's grace through faith. And so that gets me to what God intends for you to do in this care. And it's serve. Use your gifts to serve. God wants you to serve the other members of the body. And folks, this is basically, practically, on every page of the New Testament. He wants you to intentionally do things to build up the rest of the body. Do you know how many people think it's their job to tear down the body? You know how you know they think it's their job? Because that's what they do every time they talk about the church or the pastor or people in the church or whatever. But this is what the grace was given to us for. Given to you. It's for you to give grace to others by serving them. Because you're just being Jesus on earth. Remember, he wants to be down here. He wants to still be working. Well, guess what? He is. And a body part is a willing participator, just going along by its nature, doing what it's supposed to do. It exists in the background, serving and doing its thing. Diminish yourself and let the life of Christ come forward. Be what you are. You will bless others. If you have a speaking gift, well, talk to a member of the body. Talk to the other members. Teach something. Exhort them. Build them up. Give advice. Console people. Speak into their lives to build them up. You're serving in proportion to your belief in God's desire for you to serve. That God has gifted you to serve. That God is using you to serve. Paul talks about the specific gift of service. Well, go help people get things done. Do it for them. See, build them up in proportion to believing that God has gifted you and he's using you to serve people, to help them. The same is for those who give. It says give liberally. Give believing God wants you to serve that way. Believe God has gifted you to be a giver. Believe that he's using you to do it to build up the members of the body of Christ. And he who leads, lead in diligence, knowing that you are serving. You're not lording it over people. Show mercy with cheerfulness. Believe God gifted you to show mercy. He wants us to serve the body. It's really pretty simple. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about varieties of gifts to be used for others, and it says that there are varieties of ministries, there are varieties of effects. But then it says this, God works all things in everyone. He's getting the credit. He's the one working. And it says, you are given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good for everyone else to serve. Same Spirit works it all. He's distributing to each one as he wills because he wants to see us serve. He wants the members to have care, it says there, for one another. You are called to help the body get through this world to get to glory. That's your service. Don't wait around acting disconnected. Believe and get with the program. Get to know the people around you. Do things to build them up. Believe that God is the one working. He distributed to you your gifts to do just as He wills in you. Look at the others as your ministry goals. That's what people are, the precious ones. We see faces and or names, don't even realize their value is so infinite. And it's up to you to be part of making the body function well. Look for ways to help. Look for ways to love. Trust God with the process. Trust God with the outcome. That's what Paul's saying. Amen? So I want to recap all of this. We've looked at being the body members of God's grace. We looked at the importance of recognizing that you are what you are. You're gifted with your gifts by God's grace. And He has a purpose. And we saw that though each of us is different, every single one of us is connected. We all make up the one body, right? The body of Christ. And we saw that our gifts and our talents are for others to experience. They're not all about you. They're not all about me. And then we saw that God intends for you to use your gifts from Him in faithfulness and in the measure of faith, which you have enough to serve. Look for ways to serve the body.